Welcome, welcome. Well, we have a treat this morning as we welcome Mike Borstad to give us the message from God's Word today. Just a couple of details about Mike. He grew up in Park Rapids and, in fact, in this church. He and his wife, Sherry, have been supported by Faithbridge Church as missionaries since 1989. That's over 36 years or going on 36 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mike works in leadership development by teaching classes and seminars in Latin America, both long distance and on site. He and Sherry are also assisting in a Hispanic church in Mississippi. Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, welcome, Mike. God bless you as you speak to us today and bring God's word. Let's give him a warm.
Thank you so much. It really is good to be here. I, your speakers come and they always say that. It's great to be here, but it's true. And for me, it's doubly so because this is the church, as Pastor Jeff mentioned, that I grew up in, lived here, graduated from Park Rapids High School, and we have had the joy of your partnership with us over the last 36 years. It's just amazing. And it isn't, missionaries wouldn't eat without financial support, but you don't really, there's so much more than that. And the personal touch, the relationships, people reaching out personally through letters and other means, it all is part of being part of a team, and so much appreciation of that. I will be sharing the Word of God, but in the process, you'll be learning some things about the ministry. This message is one which is, I trust, will be of edification. The examples will come from things that I'm familiar with, but I don't want this message to be intended as simply, this is relative to pastors and missionaries, because in reality, the things that Paul was telling Timothy are reflective of principles that are universal and that apply in every sphere of human relationship, whether it be parenting, whether it be in formal ministry, or whether it be in informal discipleship. And so I just want to, as I share this, indicate that. So let's read our text. It is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And it says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses. These entrust to faithful men, who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." Let's just pray. Father, I thank you for this, your word, a tiny fragment of that vast body of truth and of strength, channel of your grace to us, which is your word. And Lord, bless me as I attempt to communicate faithfully what is in this text. Lord, please bless and open the ears of each person present. And Lord, may your spirit empower us, you who indeed dwell in us, O Holy Spirit, to engage in what is in this text in a way that is spirit-dependent and Christ-honoring. So we just pray in Jesus' name, amen. So as I was asked to speak here, I thought, well, I should do a text on leadership. And as so often happens, when you are tasked with preaching a text or teaching, you say, well, there's got to be a text that deals with this subject. And there's always a danger in that, because a text that deals with a subject may not say what you would like it to say about that subject. And so critique occasionally I've given to pastors, especially younger pastors, is, you know what? Our great message, wrong text. So I wanted to be careful of that as I prepared to actually teach what the text teaches. Well, it does have to do with the training of leaders. So I wanted to do that. And then as I was reading it and studying it, I found that the situation in which Paul is teaching this is a situation of extreme duress, that Paul is suffering and that he is noticing the faithlessness of many. And so he's exhorting Timothy not simply to pass on, to transmit a content as though it were merely an academic exercise, but he's encouraging Timothy to actually, in the following of Christ, look for those who will also have that passion for following Christ and give that word to them, which will enable them to lead. So that's what this is. Now, I'm just going to make a comment here. He says here to present this to faithful men, and I think that's logical. I think God entrusts men with the leadership in the church and in the home. Yet at the same time, the principles involved here are principles that are applicable to every believer in the spheres in which God puts you. So we'll start out with Paul's exhortation to Timothy, in which he says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." I appreciated the song that spoke of it was focused on the grace of God in Jesus Christ. But that is so much part of the message of Paul. So why would Paul be saying that? Well, Paul was in a situation in which he was confronting faithlessness. So if we look at 2 Timothy 1:15, he says to Timothy, "You are aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turned away from me." Now, Asia at that point meant what we would call Asia Minor, or what today is Turkey. So it's not everybody in China, but it was all who are in Asia. In Turkey turned away from me, that portion of the Roman Empire. He also says in chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, he says, "Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and thus they upset the faith of some." There was faithlessness, not merely in people just leaving, but faithlessness in regard to doctrine. And then finally, chapter 4, verse 9, it says, "Make every effort to come to me soon, for Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me." And so there, the love of the world was, and what this world could offer, was leading others to abandon the cause. I was just thinking of this at the same time as I was preparing the message about a week and a half ago. I meet every week with an online group of Latin American pastors who are coordinating ministries in their country. It's just a volunteer thing I do to help out a mission organization that trains pastors in Latin America. And Pastor Carlos, who is in Nicaragua, I was just with him a month ago in Nicaragua, and he said, "Please pray." He said, "We've got students and pastors that they're just not staying with it." And Nicaragua is difficult. It's a leftist government, and there's a lot of pressure on the church. And his burden, staying the course. Others are not staying the course. So it made me think of, I often hear Christians say in the U.S., maybe we need more persecution. The church becomes strong under persecution. But thinking about what Carlos said, that's only half true. The truth is, persecution doesn't make you strong. Persecution clarifies where you stand. And so the persecution forces you to confront who you really are going to serve. And when you do that, then you decide, well, this is not for me, or indeed, I need to hold to the grace of God in Christ Jesus. And clearly, Paul is for the first option, to hold fast. So Paul, in his letter, I noticed three ways in which he said that Timothy could be strong in the grace of Jesus. Three ways he could be strong in the grace of Jesus. And one of them is simply by Paul's example. Timothy was personally present in a substantial portion of Paul's missionary journeys. And I just picked out a few of the incidents where he was with Paul and saw Paul under persecution and under pressure. For example, he was there when Paul and Silas were imprisoned in Philippi after casting the evil spirit out of the slave girl. He wasn't in the jail with them, but he was with them in Philippi. He was there, and I'll just read very quickly Acts 17, this little text where he was also with them when Paul was at Thessalonica and Berea, and he was driven out of Thessalonica, comes to Berea, and they're actually listening. They're seeking to see if what Paul says is actually in the word. But then some agitators came, stirred up the crowds, and Paul had to escape for his life. But interestingly, Timothy was there too. So verse 14 says, "Immediately the brethren sent Paul out to go as far as the sea, and Silas and Timothy remained there." And so Timothy was there with him when this happened, when Paul had to leave at under threats on his life. Again, Timothy is there with Paul when Paul, at least in part of Paul's imprisonment in Rome, if we look in Philippians 2, look at the testimony that Paul gives to the faithfulness of Timothy. So Philippians 2, 19 through 22 says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. Text which bears witness to the special relationship Paul had with Timothy, but it also is a testimony to Timothy's faithfulness in difficult situations. Imagine, I don't think that prison is an agreeable thing anywhere on the planet, but I think that certainly many parts of the world, many points in history, they've maybe been worse than others. And I think Paul's situation was definitely very difficult in the prison. And so Timothy had seen what Paul had gone through. Timothy had seen Paul's attitude. He'd seen his responses. So that's the first way that Paul had left Timothy his example to follow. The second thing is that he was to rely on the grace of God in Christ Jesus. And there we see in 2 Timothy 2:2, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, things that he had heard, the teaching he had heard. Of the 13 letters that the Apostle Paul wrote, what am I going to select? Paul wrote about many topics. He wrote from dealing with everything from the creation to the end times. And so what do you pick here? And so I thought, one of the things that I try to teach my students in biblical interpretation and preparation of messages is one of the best places to start when you want to find out, to understand the text you're dealing with is, you know, go to the context, go to the immediate context. What would be an example of what Paul had left behind as far as teaching? Well, he taught many things, but right here in chapter 2, there were some good things that I think he wanted were on his heart for Timothy and for anybody who wants to be faithful, teach faithfully, and see that teaching, those habits of life, those patterns, that living by grace, wants to see that replicated in the lives of the ones, not only that he teaches, but who are taught in turn by the ones that have been taught already. And so 2 Timothy 2:8 says, just a few examples, he says, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel. I just want to focus on Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. A man like Paul who faced imminent death at many points in his journeys. Yet he is emboldened by the resurrection. Well, how does that work? Well, in Philippians 3, in 10 and 11, it says, Paul says here, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul has no doubts there. It's not that he thinks, well, maybe I'll screw up one day and I won't make it to the resurrection. But what he's saying here is there's a conditional nature here. He is constantly hanging on to his hope in Jesus. One of the wonderful things about the Word of God is that we can't see God. He's invisible. And how do you know and relate to someone who you can't see? Well, of course, there's the issue of faith and trust. But how do you hold on to a God you can't see? He doesn't have a finger pointing this way or that way, or yes or no. Doesn't shake his head. It's his word. And so you hold to his word as you know God. And not only that, God is a God who makes covenants. And a covenant-making God is a God who makes promises. And so the nature of our relationship with him, once we respond in faith to Jesus Christ, is that we hold fast to God by faith in the God who has promised himself to us. And how has he promised himself to us? He has given us his Son. So Do I want to know him? I must take hold of his promises. I must live by faith in the promises. And everything that God says about himself has within it what we would call an implicit promise. If God is faithful, if Jesus is raised from the dead, that has an implication for us. And because God is always faithful to do what he has promised, and his character never changes, then as we hold to him, it's as though we were saying, God, I know you are this way, and I know that you will always act towards me in the same way in which you acted towards me in Jesus Christ. And so this idea of the resurrection empowered him to face death and to continue on faithfully. 2 Timothy 2:10 says, "For this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it, eternal glory." Paul there explicitly says, God is going to do something. In fact, he already has done something. It says, those who are chosen in Jesus Christ, we know that the scripture says we are chosen in him before the foundation of the world. And that which God has purposed since before time, before creation, he will continue to carry forth on into eternity. And so Paul's confidence was not in his ability. Paul's confidence was that this word that is given to him by God, that he will speak, is being spoken to people whom God has already called. And so Paul is not at all looking to any capacity of his own. And he's not looking even to his own faithfulness as the guarantee that God will save. It is God's own faithfulness in choosing, in calling, in regenerating, in filling with the Holy Spirit. It is that faithfulness in which Paul has confidence. And so he can continue on steadfastly, knowing that even in his weakness, God has gone before, is working now, and will continue to work, as he said also in Philippians, "He who has begun a good work in you will continue it unto the day of Jesus Christ." So there's a promise there, and he's telling Timothy, this is true, and this it not only works for me, it's true for each person that serves Jesus Christ. And then finally, one last thing that under many else that I could mention is in 2:11, where it says, "It is a trustworthy statement. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." And there again, this concept of Paul, one of the phrases that gets used, he uses this phrase all the time, "in Christ," for "in Christ," and "in Christ." And it's all through Ephesians especially, but in Romans. What is it to be in Christ? It is that we are identified with Jesus Christ, first because he identified with us. He took upon himself all that we deserve. So as it says in 2 Corinthians, that him who made no sin, God made to be sin, that in him we might be the righteousness of God in him. And so we have there, Paul is reminding Timothy that our salvation is done by our identity with Christ and in Christ. And so this little text where he says, we are identified with Christ in his death and in his resurrection. And he even goes on to talk about issues regarding faithlessness and faithfulness, about denial, about faithlessness. And the point, that could be a subject for another message. How do we fit that in, you know, if God is working within us, if we, you know, believe in eternal security, which I do, then how does this all fit together? But that would be a whole nother message, way too long. But the point I want to make here, I think, is the central point that Paul is getting at here, is that we are identified with Christ, and everything about us ought to be defined by our identification with Christ, who is already identified with us. And then a final thing, a third thing, that how can Timothy remain faithful? And that is in 3:16, 2 Timothy 3:16. "All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." Now, Timothy had benefited from Paul's experience. He had seen Paul's testimony. I did mention that as one of the ways that Paul was communicating to Timothy. But the authority which was to govern Timothy's life was not the life of Paul. The authority was to be the Word of God. And so we have this, the reminder that the message to master that word, make that word a part of you, because as it is a part of you, you will continue in faithfulness to God. Then Paul says to Timothy, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And I trust even with the convictions I have about male leadership in the church, that at the same time, women who listen to this will say, God has given me every and many opportunities to be doing this in the lives of the people that he has committed to me. So it's not limited in that sense. But Paul here was writing to Timothy, who was going to be training church leaders. And faithful, you know, faithful is when you do something that you said you would do. Jesus said in Luke 16:10, he who is faithful in little will be faithful in much. So, you know, how do you know who's going to be faithful? Those of you who have been in ministry, either here in the States or overseas, will be able to identify with what I'm about to say, and that is that there are people who are extremely good at, I'll use the word is ingratiate. They're really good at gaining confidence with people without demonstrating who they are. There's personalities that are very winsome, and they show up and they talk to the deacon or the pastor or the elder or somebody who's in charge of something in the church, and they're really good at, you know, yep, I'm your man. And yet they have a way of evading the issue of whether they've ever been faithful with anything. And of course, there's a lot of problems that come with that. And, you know, I've had those experiences on the mission field. And I think that, and it happens here in the U.S., it happens everywhere, where there's the possibility of gaining authority over others. There are people that are very good at learning how to put on the clothing of authority without actually being faithful. And Paul is saying, you watch. Are they faithful? Jesus said, are they faithful in little? They'll be faithful in much. And so in the few minutes that remain, what I would just like to do is talk about ministries, four or five illustrations of faithfulness. Okay, so 3 weeks ago I left Colombia. I was in Colombia for 9 days, and I was teaching at a church there close to Bogota. And such a blessing to be there. The pastor who started the church, I think 26 years ago now, has had a burden for, he's had a 2 Timothy chapter 2 burden on his life. And it was such a blessing to me to see two men in particular, and really involved with their families. It was just one of their testimony in family, their testimony is. But one of them is a philosophy teacher, teaches in school there. But he's also a pastor. He's been trained, ordained, and so dedicates so much of his time to that ministry. Another is Pastor Diego, who just recently was able to start to be full trained by the church. And this church has been faithfully starting other churches. These pastors are involved with those churches. But the senior pastor, Pastor John, that started the church 26 years ago, they've been starting a church close to the border with Venezuela, and those of you who have been following the situation know that Venezuela is a country in complete turbulence and collapse right now, and so many Venezuelans have been coming over to Colombia, some of them undocumented, imagine that, and so lots of issues, especially on these border areas. But here's this guy, he's probably about 60 years old, but he and his wife go for a month and they just minister there. And they leave the church with these two younger men, and he's completely comfortable because he knows who they are. He knows they're faithful. Involved just probably, well, it would have been back in May. Different example, the church that it was, it's a Reformed church I was teaching at, and they've been busy starting new churches. But one of the burdens of the pastor is to train leaders that are in the rural areas, in the mountains of Honduras. So he said, hey, would you be willing to lead besides your regular class, would you be willing to lead a group on Saturday? Now, what would you like me to do? Well, so you're teaching biblical interpretation, so why don't you work with these guys? Okay, you got 3 hours, all right. So the wonderful thing was to see how dedicated they were. The average education of these guys that were coming in on Saturday was sixth grade. They're all working in one way or another. They have their trades or their farms or whatever. And they came in pickups and enduro bikes. And one guy had come clear over. We were close to the Atlantic side. One guy had come clear over from the Pacific side. He'd spent the whole previous day traveling. And came, and you could just, the commitment that they had to their ministry and to be there and to take advantage of whatever training they could get was evident on their faces and evident in their participation as we went through. I wanted it to be very workshop style, so I said, okay, here's a principle we can use. Okay, we're working with Titus. We're working with a text out of Titus. So, okay, let's go. And everybody did it, and okay, let's compare notes. And we just worked like crazy until noon when everybody was hungry and it was time to have a piece of pizza. But the commitment that was evident in them, what a blessing. These are faithful men who are faithfully teaching others. I'll close here, leave out some examples, but this is a totally different sphere. We're helping out, assisting, Sherry and I are assisting with a Spanish-speaking church in Mississippi. It's very small, went through a lot of problems, and they're kind of rebuilding right now. But a young man showed up about a year ago. Yeah, I'd be right. He showed up, well, a little more than you. He showed up in September of last year. And his name was Baltasar. I said, wow, that's quite a name. Well, traditionally, at least in some parts of the Spanish-speaking world, the traditional names of the three wise men are Baltasar, Gaspar, and Melchior. Well, so he's one of the three wise men. But he's a very young man, but he is showing great wisdom. He's 18 years old right now. And he started to come to our Wednesday night Bible study. And he was always talking about he wanted his life to improve and he wanted to do things better. And it was like, you know, we're talking about the grace of God. You're talking about self-improvement. Of course, nobody rebuked him and said, oh, you shouldn't say things like that. It was more like, let's just share the word of God. And it was the most amazing thing. In February, so it was several months, 5 months later, he comes and he starts to talk about how God was, the salvation that God was saving him, that it was Jesus. And it was like nobody had sat down with him and said, okay, now you need to believe this way or think this way. But it was always, he gets it. The Holy Spirit had done what only the Holy Spirit can do. So he was baptized in August, and he likes to invite people, and he invited a friend named Rafael, who is also from Guatemala, and Rafael came for a while, then he left. We were kind of sad about that, but before I traveled to Colombia, I sat down with Rafael, because he had just come back, and we're working with him on... We have English classes, so Baltasar is studying English with us, and Rafael is an adult, but he's never learned to read or write, so we're helping him to read and write Spanish first and then to learn English. So I said, Rafa, I'm really glad to have you back. You know, it's so good to have you here with us. Are you going to stay with us? And he said, I want to do that. And I don't think he's a believer yet, but... So you see the faithfulness of somebody, an 18-year-old man, like young man like Baltasar, inviting and sharing. And you, all around the world, this is what's happening. And you guys support us, just very small people in a very large planet. But all around the world, this is going on. And it is my hope that as we continue to train and share the Word of God, as we continue to mentor, to... Our small contribution will really be just evidence of God's great work, not only in us, but in the lives of people that we have the opportunity to train. So again, thank you for your part in that. It's been a great blessing to be with you this morning.
You have been listening to a guest speaker at Faith Bridge Church in Park Rapids, Minnesota. You are invited to attend one of the worship services at 8 or 10:30 each Sunday morning. Feel free to contact Faith Bridge for more information. Regular network programming will resume shortly.